Welcome to episode
11
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
27th of November,
2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
And welcome to WoW Geekly episode 11. My name is Asheo, and I'm here with the streak of geek from the aisle down below that other bigger aisle. It's El Jeppy. Morning, sir.
Yo.
Yo.
I thought you were going to say, and I'm here with that blob of freak.
Yes, I'm sure we could have come up with a better title for last week's show, but that's all right. 11, eh? Legs 11.
Legs 11?
Legs 11. I don't know many big
all the ones. 11.
There you go. So we made it to 11. 11 being the... Isn't that the highest number that you can do in an iTunes review?
It is.
Does it go up to 11?
It's way high.
Goes to 11.
Goes all the way to 11.
Mm.
I love that bit in that. I'm blanking on the film now.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. Mm. Yes. No, but you see, this one goes all the way to 11.
Yes. Crank it up, people. So thank you to those that gave us some iTunes reviews.
Yes. Well, we got a bit of a weird one. We launched this show back in September, and after much discussion, we decided to do not a minus one show because that would have been stupid. But we did a zero show, and the point of a zero show is basically to clear out the pipes, make sure things are working in the stream,
make sure the guinea pigs are pedaling fast.
Yeah, so it's basically a guinea pig show, and hopefully it doesn't attract too many nutters. Unfortunately, we fished one right in because
come in, spinner.
I have to say, I hadn't up until this point checked the iTunes reviews.
Well,
but
I can't even figure out how to get to iTunes reviews. I feel like a technology failure. So after I heard that we'd actually got an iTunes review, I thought I should go and read them. So I went into my iPhone on the podcast app. Nah. Can't seem to get reviews in there. Oh, maybe you do it in the iTunes app. When in the iTunes app? No, can't do it in there. Oh. Maybe go to iTunes.com on my in the website. No, can't get any there. I went, I give up. I don't know how to do reviews.
Yeah, they don't make it easy. No. It's not like, well, I'll tell you what I'd like as well, because when you review anything on iTunes, it's dependent on your store. So if you happen to be attached to the US store, your review will go on the US store page. And if you happen to be in the UK, it goes on the UK page. And
because podcasts are geographic. You know? A podcast made for America is only made for America. And it'd be silly for you to want reviews on that in any other country. Ridiculous concept of having a global store. Oh.
Crazy talk.
Crazy talk. Crazy.
So our very, very, very first review on September the 10th, which I think was literally the day our zero episode went up, is from, I'm looking for the word better than dickhead, but I'm afraid I can't find one. And his name is Longtime Listener 001. I'm guessing since that was the zero episode, he wasn't that much of a longtime listener.
No,
anyway,
that's true.
And he's obviously taken a lot of time over this review.
Yep.
He wants to make sure that
listen
he
to our
does it correctly.
Given us excellent feedback on how to
compared
improve.
Us to other podcasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his review reads, "The file has a glitch and it's not downloading. Oh, thanks, guys." 1 star.
One star. Not 11 stars. Thought this went to 11.
Go all the way up to 11.
Wow. Yeah. Gee whiz.
1 star.
Oh.
Because, long time listener 001. That was the zero show.
Listen to zero.
Well. And actually, within about 24 seconds of it going up, the file caught up with the stream and it was working fine.
Mm.
So thanks very much.
Yeah.
Fortunately, amongst every, with every dick, there comes a few nice people. And we did get 2 5-star reviews on the US site. And I really feel bad that these are so late now. This one came on October the 1st. And it's from Not Bocage. I'm going to pronounce it like that. Not Bocage. It might be Not Bocage, but I think it's Cage.
No, sounds much fancier.
Because it's 5 stars, I'm going to read it out. Mm. Is that okay?
Okay.
These guys have great banter and synergy. See, this is an educated person.
Oh, synergy. Look at that.
That's a $10 word there, right there. I've heard them both before on other podcasts, but I'm very happy they decided to work together on their own project. The topics they cover on WoW are current, and they don't specifically target new or elite players, but cater to both groups of players. They offer fantastic podcast. They have a fantastic podcast that really helps kill time at work. Hang on a second. Is informative and just simply entertaining. There you go. Thanks for the fantastic podcast and keep it up, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for the review.
Yeah, that's really sweet. And it's nice. It's a nice, considered review. I like reviews like that. I mean, I like reviews. They good job, guys, and it's a 5-star. You know, I'm not going to take those away from you.
I think that's our show title. Synergy goes to 11.
Synergy goes all the way to 11. And we also got one. And the reason we're looking at these iTunes reviews, by the way, is because Molson said he was going to send us one, and we were all a quiver. So Molson's a big thing in the podcast world now.
He's a huge person in the community.
His community he's almost a community leader
of
a very small faction within the community. The ones that sort of look in and are actually pissing into the tent as opposed to pissing out of it. But still, he's there. He's doing his bit. I remember when he was knee-high to a grasshopper, but yeah, there you go. So this is from our dear friend Bolson from the incredibly good, and this is no joke, incredibly good Bit of Insulted podcast.
Yep. Definitely.
And awesome he podcast. Has also given us a 5-star. Now, you're going to have to brace yourself for this one because I don't think you're going to like it.
All right.
I try not to miss an episode of this epic show about Warcraft. For first-time podcasters, they have tremendous chemistry and geekiness. They are obsessed with numbers and their schedule, whatever that is. But they are full of tips, entertaining stories, and all-around great information. Not bad for a couple of English chaps. Or is it English mates? Either way, subscribe today.
rub your tummy, governor. You're a funny fucker, aren't you?
We're going to have to cut that. That's not good. Yes, he's funny, to say the very least. That's very good. So not only a 5-star, but a bit of humour.
And some humour. God love the funny stuff.
I haven't managed to check the other stores yet, but I will do and we'll read those out next week.
Make sure you check every single country. I want to know what reviews we've got in Latvia and Venezuela. Okay?
I think we're very good in Latvia.
Oh, we're huge
in Latvia. do you know what really will annoy you? Is at the top of when you select your region, you can actually change your country or region, although you can't actually buy from another store, but you can change it to have a look at what's going on there.
Hmm.
At the top, it says the United States and Canada, and that has two little buttons, Canada and United States.
Yeah.
And then Europe has a ton of them, obviously.
Yeah.
And Australia comes under Asia Pacific.
Yeah.
And it's next to such notables as Bhutan and Kazakhstan.
What?
And Mongolia.
Kazakhstan. It's either we're normally Asia Pacific or Oceanic.
If you're Oceanic
people.
So I think Oceanic's good because you would be Australia and then possibly New Zealand.
Hmm.
Actually, weirdly enough, I don't think New Zealand has one. Oh, it does. Yeah, it does.
That's an upset but Kiwis.
You are competing with Nepal.
We do our best. Well, thank you for that, folks. So 11.
Yeah, Molson,
you're comedian. Slightly off track there, but let's pull it back. Pull it back. Oh, no, it wasn't that far off track. It was just a little bit. It's just pulling it back. 11. Number 11. I like 11. 11's a pretty cool number.
Not like 10.
Nah. So what's your favourite thing about 11, mate?
Well, there are 11 players on a football team.
Football
team. There are 11 players on a cricket team. I'm not sure what was happening when the British invented football and cricket, why they decided to go for 11. Maybe they were going to go for 10, a nice round number, and some other bloke showed up.
Australia invented cricket as something to do during summer when the footy wasn't on.
Australia didn't invent nothing.
Sure, we did.
That was like a triple negative.
The toilet?
Oh, yeah.
John Crapper was Australian, wasn't he?
Was he?
I don't know.
Nah.
Yeah, of course he was. Just act like you know what you're talking about. People will believe you. No one's going to go and look that up on Wikipedia. You'll be right.
You can have the toilet.
Oh, thanks.
We'll keep the rugby, football, and indeed.
Yeah, you can have your rugby. Yeah. Look at that.
But as far as other connotations, 11, not really. We've already done the Spinal Tap all the way up to 11.
What was that? Yeah. But 11, it's the atomic number for sodium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to tell you a sodium joke, but then I thought, nah.
There are sodium jokes?
It's all right. The chemists out there will get that.
Oh, because it's NA.
NA.
Well, it's a slow one.
It's a builder. Yeah.
I have no idea where that is in my mind that sodium is NA. At some stage when I was preparing to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I'd learned all the elements.
All the elements, yeah.
Just in case it came up.
Yep, for sure. There you go. And there's lots of fun math stuff with 11. Most of them very, very difficult to explain verbally. I think people will nod off if I try to go into them. So I'll just keep a simple one. So I'll stick with the theme of figuring out if a large number is divisible by our current episode number. So how do you figure out if a large number is divisible by 11? It's a bit of a weird one. So if you take every second digit and add them together, and then take every other second digit and add them together, and then subtract those two numbers. If the answer is 0 or 11, then original number is divisible by 11. So say, for example, 872, right? So the first and third is 8 and 2, so that's 10. And the second and the fourth, well, there's only one, that's 7. So 10 minus 7 is 3. So 872, not divisible by 11.
Because it ends up with 3.
Yeah, because it ends up with a number that's not divisible by 11. So it's a bit of an odd one.
Why? Why, though?
Why? It's the magic of 11. It's all the ones that just push stuff over, and you get your save one and put it up to your next units and leftovers, and that's just the way it works out.
See, I think that's all rubbish. I think that is magic.
Oh, magic. Yeah. And because it's magic. Exactly.
Legs 11.
Legs 11. There you go. So, speaking of 11, I hear that you're doing an 11-way refer a friend. I wish, he says. I wish.
Yeah. If they let me have more than 8 accounts, I would do an 11-way.
How's your week been in the wows, mate?
It's been a sort of almost, I'm trying to think of a good word, like a
orgasmic.
No, that's not
the word.
Don't go guessing words. We'll be all day. Sensual, exotic.
All right, let's go with exotic.
you're thinking of an 11 way again. What's going on? Now, it's been a bit of a getting ready, setting up, rebuilding kind of week where I've not done a heck of a lot in game, but I've been laying the groundwork
and building the foundations.
Now, last week we talked about this lull and me being all optimistic. I said, it's going to be like 4 or 5 months and we'll probably see it in April. May, maybe June at the latest, and sending me into a spiral of despair. A show comes out with his, "Nah, mate, you're not going to see this before the end of the year next year."
24. Sorry, sunshine.
Yeah.
Be lucky to see before the 11th month.
And I said, well, okay, even pessimistically or optimistically, there's going to be a bit of a lull. There's going to be a lull. Let's be honest. There's not going to be boxes hitting our shelves at Christmas. I think we would have known this by now. So we discussed in great detail what we're going to do about it, or at least what I'm going to do about it. And I came up with this off-the-cuff, fanciful idea of doing a complete status,
virgin.
Tabula rasa, virgin account.
Oof.
And then I forgot about it.
I laid back down. What the hell was I thinking?
What the hell? I listened back to the podcast. That's not me. No chance. Strumpet, our dear friend Strumpet 101 from the increasingly popular All Pets Allowed, which, by the way, includes the lovely Lita this week.
So this week, yeah. So she's had the Litas and your Molsons and all the good people. So it's downhill from here. So we'll see her. She goes on next week.
Yes, yeah. I think fifth episode, don't they normally get you in?
I mean, you know, they've done the cream of the crop, so I'll be mopping up the dregs at some point.
Yeah, and I've had to say no to her about seven times, so I'm sure that'll go through. Anyway, so she was inspired by our little discussion and did basically what I said I was going to do, which was create a brand new BattleNet account, no pets, no mounts, and start off with, she's planning to do a bit of multiboxing as well when her dear husband is away for 2 weeks in Australia. And so I said, well, she's gone and done it now, inspired by me that I was going to do it, so I better go ahead and do it.
Inspired by your stupidity.
Inspired by my stupid blurting off-the-cuff remarks. And she said, because also, of course, Strumpet, being the pet collector that she is, wants the recruiter friend pets. And I think was feeling a wee bit guilty about just recruiting herself and then basically freezing the account once she'd put the 60-day card on, and decided to hand out the largesse by recruiting me. And at this stage, I want to apologize to a listener who is Shane Oliver. Let me just make sure I'm getting that correct. Who's at Sholiver, Sholiver, on the Twitters, who kindly offered to be my recruiter friend. Sadly, this, what I'm talking about now, had already occurred, so the spot had already been filled. Sorry, Shane. Trust me, this won't be the last time I do recruiter friend. So there's still hope for you in the future. So she recruited me. But, you know, Strumpet is, I'm trying to think of a word better than diamond, and I can't think of one, so I'm going to say she's an absolute diamond. Not only does she recruit me, but
you mean
she sends
really,
me a
really hard and has been in the ground
she's
for
hard.
Years of the year. Is that what you're trying to say?
She's hard and shiny. She needs good polish. She sent me a battle chest and this is not to be sniffed at, a 90-day game card. 90-day stand back, people. 90-day game card.
That's another 3 months of you whinging and whining. That's awesome.
That's 4 months because you get the free 30 days of the battle chest.
Yeah.
Okay, and it gets worse in a minute.
Jeez, Warlords will be out by then.
Definitely. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Don't choke on your drink. That's definitely gonna happen. You're like, yeah, right. So I thought, well, that's fantastic. Of course.
And you've done it to a Virgin BattleNet?
Virgin BattleNet created the whole new one. I had a bit of trouble because it constantly insisted that I was in Europe, which of course I was. But for some reason, you can go into the US BattleNet page and you can set up a European BattleNet, which I don't really understand that. I'm on
US.battlenet.com. Yeah, US.battlenet.battle.net, then surely you're creating a US account.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. I think, and I I was going to ask Blizzard CS, but I think you can have a mixture of European and US on the same BattleNet.
Oh.
So actually, the BattleNet is just a container for accounts.
I wouldn't have thought so, but that'd be interesting.
Mm, yeah, maybe not. Maybe. Anyway, regardless, I had a bit of trouble, and I found the perfect email address for this new BattleNet, which I won't tell you, but I found the perfect email address for this new BattleNet.
JeppyTheVirgin@gmail.com?
JeppyTheVirgin. Yeah, no. But I found the perfect one, and I almost blew it on a European one. So I was like, back away, back away. But finally, I got through the hoops and jumped over the hurdles. Created this gorgeous BattleNet. No accounts on it. Absolutely virgin. 8 potential Warcraft slots available. Did the old recruiter friend. Banged it in there. First account. WoW 1. That's the first time I've ever had my WoW 1, yeah. Because normally I'd bought BattleNets together from loads of accounts that I created previously. Like you used to have to create an account with a whole new email address, do you remember? Mm. Every account you created had to have its own email address.
Yep.
Really quite fun. Anyway.
You know, I mean, my accounts are pre-BattleNet, so the account's not called WoW 1. It's called the name that it used to be before BattleNet existed.
Yeah, and quite a few of mine are as well. They're all called weird names. And we'll go too far off track because it's already getting quite long. But when I was created, I didn't know that you were allowed to have more than one. When I first started doing it, and I wanted to sort of have multiple accounts, so I created accounts in all the names of my children. So I've got an account called Carmen and Daisy, and you know, ridiculous names. Anyway, that's all about that. So, of course, I'm not going to stick with one account. The whole point of this is that I want a bit of luxury. And so I decided to recruit myself, you know, you do. When you're Billy No Mates, all you got to do is recruit yourself.
Scotty.
So I go ahead and recruit myself. Now, because this is a virgin account, I don't have things like my credit card is not on there.
Right.
My PayPal's not attached to it. So I figured that I'd do what Strumpet did, which was incredibly nice, is use the gift facility, go across the shop, and I purchased a battle chest. And it goes, congratulations, you've added WoW 4 to your account.
Hmm?
Hang on a second, I'm thinking, WoW 4?
They're having a turn 3.
Exactly, where have they gone? Well, what's happened to them is, of course, I haven't gifted it, I've just created it, and it slapped it straight on my main account. taking one of the last 2 precious slots available on that BattleNet.
It's a harsh life.
It is. I kind of rolled up. I started bashing my head against the keyboard, thinking that I've just gone and pissed away. At the time, by the way, they were $19.99. And started bashing my head against the keyboard.
It's not virgin anymore. I'm starting again.
Yeah, it's screwed up my entire, well, it's taking a slot on my, here's another thing. I apologize to the listener for jumping about so much. Here's another thing. When the beta came out for Panda Land.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but it took a slot. So when I got my beta for Panda Land, I tried to put it into my main account and it failed because I'd already got 8 WoW accounts on that BattleNet. And then I couldn't use the code again.
Oh.
But it said the code had already been used. So I was like, oh, I can't believe I got a beta code and now I've gone and blown it. As it turned out, because I had several other BattleNet accounts, I'd already picked one up unknowingly from, the opt-in. But anyway, so I've been trying to keep slots free on it, at least one slot free on each BattleNet. So just in case that happens again. Anyway, that's all by the way. I've already gone and blown one of them.
Degree of difficulty?
2000. Strumpet comes through again. I want you to imagine Strumpet 101 on a big white horse in shining gold armor.
I can see a halo around her head. I can picture it.
Halo, definitely a halo. But she's a diamond saint at this stage because she says, that's horrible. That's terrible. Here you go. Here's another battle chest and another 90-day card. What? Hello, Stumpet. So, somewhat of a silver lining, definitely. Mm-hmm. Basically, Stumpet has financed, bankrolled the project that is about to kick off.
Oh, your Christmases have come early.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I didn't even unwrap it. I just had to click on it. So, currently, I did actually go ahead and purchase one myself as well. I thought I'd better even the balance up a little bit. So, currently, I've got 3 accounts on this brand new Battle.net. What we're going to call the project? Should I tell you?
Go. What's it?
Project Madonna.
Like a virgin.
Because it's going to make me feel like a virgin. Like yeah. A virgin. Yes.
And also, holiday.
Yes, right. Because not only do I have 4 months just on the battle chest and the 90-day card on each account that Strumpet kindly, I'm going to use the word donated, but she gave it to me. But each time, each one down the line chucks back another 30 days as a free month.
Right.
Well, so 2 of the accounts have 5 months on them.
No, you'll be definitely here into Warlords. You'll be leveling to 100.
So that's the current state of affairs.
Very good. Excellent.
Project Madonna.
Excellent.
And what I'm hoping to do, and I did try in vain yesterday to put together a sort of intro video to Project Madonna, is to try and video document this as much as possible.
Oh, that would be wicked.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I imagine we'll get like 10, 15 people who want to actually look at it. But still.
Yeah. I mean, if you put up Virgin and Madonna and stick it on YouTube, it's going to get tons of hits.
Well, these days I tag all our videos with
a
half stone beta.
Watch this video to figure out how to get a half stone beta key.
Yep. It's 48 minutes in. But that's it. I've been laying the groundwork for Project Madonna.
Oh, exciting.
It is. So hopefully I'll have a lot more to talk about next week when I get kicking off.
Terrific. Can't wait for it.
What about you? I'm sure you haven't been sat there on your haunches moaning about your bad teeth.
Oh, yeah, well, I have, yeah. Can you hear the wind whistling through the new hole in my mouth?
Whistling?
Yeah. Whistling. Bloody dentist. It's just really very annoying. Yeah.
Bit of a butcher by all accounts.
A bit of a butcher. A bit of a yanker. But did get a bit of wow this week. To be honest, work is completely kicking my butt lately, so haven't been playing as much as I would want to. But I've been digging it. This week's been my rep week. I hope everyone's out there with their 9% bonus and killing for rep as quickly and happily as they can. So I decided that even though that the 9% rep wasn't working for me in terms of gaining rep with Nat Pagel, because I wasn't really killing those fish, I thought it was probably good a time as any to grind up those other reps. If you're like me and you want to be a completionist and get exalted with all the mists reputations before Warlords drops, this is a good a chance as any. So I had a bunch more of those eggs that dropped from Hulon and rocked them out to the Cloud Serpent dudes and said, hang on a minute, shoot me what up into the sky. And 9%, not that it was going to do anything because I wasn't killing anything, but makes you feel good to see those fireworks go off.
It's a nice tabard, isn't it? It's a nice tabard.
Handed in my eggs, bang, exalted with those cloud serpents.
What?
Yeah, all the way.
How many eggs did you have?
Oh, it was only another 3. But so you don't, overall, once you've, if you've got up to... get to the point where you've got the commendation for double rep. It's pretty easy to get exalted with the Cloud Serpents. And Shao, I don't think, did any of the Cloud Serpent dailies to get there. So
I haven't ever done it. I've never done it.
They're pretty cool, actually. And you get
yeah,
the.
Yeah, I see them flying about.
Yeah, flying about. I rocked around. I was having a poke at my Matilla people. I still had two or three that weren't besties yet. So I went around and dug up some of that fabled dark soil stuff. Dug up some jade cats and you like.
And is it this easy now to get that?
Yeah,
not many people are doing it. All over the place, mate.
If you're using something like Gatherer for your herbs and stuff, it will also put in where any of your guildies have got dark soil. So you just fly over there. Oh, yeah, there's one. Before you know it, I'm besties with everyone on the farm. So that one was a pretty easy one to knock out. And I,
that's what she said.
Knocked out a couple of dailies with the Klaxi. I was at like, I don't know why I stopped. I was at like 18,500 with the Klaxi. So it took me about 3 dailies to get exalted with them. Weren't far behind with the August Celestials. So before you know it, bang, 35 exalted reputations. Thank you very much.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Did you get anything for that?
Nah.
Is that for a warm just glow?
Yeah, it's a warm glow and a bit of an achievement. Everybody loves a bit of an achievement popping up on your screen.
Yeah. Hmm. That's good. Yeah. So not a heck of a lot of work, it doesn't sound like, but still.
It was very much taken at Easy Week. Well, from that aspect, I will go into my raiding week a bit later on.
so as I understand it, there's something for the guild at 55. Is that right? So my brain is a little bit cold this morning.
In terms of our boiler blew up. Reputations?
Yeah. Doesn't the guild have some achievement that if somebody gets 55 or...
I don't know.
I could be talking, but I don't even know there was 55. I'm trying to work out what they would be, but still, I'm sure there's
hundreds. Oh, yeah, there's a ton.
So, are you going to go back and do loads of old ones?
Maybe. Depends how long the lull is and what else is going on. But it is something certainly that I like working on. It's a fairly easy goal to get at the end of a bit of work. It's nice to get those achievements popping up.
Yeah.
But, right now, I'm working on my good buddy, Nat Pagel. And he is indeed my buddy right now.
His shack must absolutely stink.
Yeah, yeah. All the fish he gets. Yeah. I think he smokes them.
Oh.
Just sitting there in his boat, smoking fish. Love it. I don't mind a bit of smoked salmon. Maybe I should catch him some salmon.
Yeah, he likes
them. Yeah. But the three fish that he catched for him, it seems like a really odd drop rate on them. Like some days I'll catch all of them within about 4 casts. You know, it's like there was one day I got my mimic octopus on my very first cast into an octopus pool, and I caught my... forget what the other one is. It's like in Sha something or other water. I caught that one on the first cast and got my other one without too many casts. And then yesterday, I was fishing for like about an hour and caught none of them. So I don't know what's going on there.
RNG.
Yeah, RNG's just like all over the place. But you'd think that like quest drops that. If you persist at something for long enough, the drop rate should increase. But I guess it doesn't apply to those, given that they're not—they're not actually quest items. They're items that start quests. So,
yeah, it'd be interesting. One day, I imagine when WoW has closed down, they'll release the code.
Yeah, people look at them going, "Oh my God, how did we ever actually get anything to drop whatsoever?" Yeah. But, and I did look at, in terms of going back, even for Cataclysm, even for Mists, I've still got work to go back. Like, I didn't do the Jade Forest. And if you haven't actually done a large chunk of the Jade Forest quest chain, that's the only way to get rep with the Forest Hosen. So I'm still neutral with the Forest Hosen.
No.
Yeah.
So they're good friends to have, aren't they?
I got a bunch of work to do with them. And I didn't do any questing in Tanlong Steps on Shao, so got a bunch of rep to go with a Shadow Pan as well. So they're the sorts of things that I'll do in the lull.
So you're kind of being smart. I hate to say things like that because I know you get quite big-headed about this, but you're making sure that you get all your old stuff, I'll use the word advisedly, your old stuff done, as opposed to just going off, forgetting about all the accounts that you spent the last 8 years doing and creating a whole new one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm doing it now, you know, because of the 9% bonus, which finishes, when does that finish? That finishes on the 2nd of December. So you got another few days. And of course, what started yesterday? Your old Pilgrim's Bounty.
Turkey Day. Or Turkey Week in a bit.
Haven't actually done any of that yet. So I'm guessing that nothing has changed. There's not that there's any bosses to like go and get drops and stuff, but
There's no, you have to go and fight King Turkey.
King Turkey. Does he gobble? Gobble, gobble,
gobble, gobble. He does. He gobbles up the entire raid.
Ah, right.
You have to get magic corn.
Yep.
It's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
You should look it up on Wowhead.
All right. I'll go and do that. Wow Insider will have a big spiel on it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow Insider is the place to check if you want to hear rumors and fake account stuff. Yeah.
I'll get right on that. Thanks for the tip. So my quest for the legendary cloak on Ashao.
The second legendary cloak.
I've, this week, for the first time in a very long time, got Valakat. because I needed to get, I'm working on the bit where I have to get 3,000 Valor. And I did the same as I said last week and queued up for a bunch of the old LFRs. And I'm still blown away by the drop rate that I'm getting. That they've turned, talk about turning things up to 11. They've turned the drop rate on the old raids up to 11. I'll tell you what, I'm having to, my bags keep filling up. And it's like, oh God, I've got to go. Basically, all you can do is sell them. And some of it's, I'm kind of putting in my bank because it's, it might be transmog stuff. The tier stuff I'm keeping because I might say, oh yeah, that tier of stuff looked pretty good. And I'll get put that set together. So, your old raids, and a couple of the, didn't go and kill Gary again this week. So I'd give him a week off.
Damn it, Gary.
Oh, so.
Is there quite a bit of gold to be made from these LFR runs?
Not really.
It's not a good gold per hour.
I wouldn't think so. Much easier ways to make gold. Especially the current content, because you're wiping so much, your repairs are going to outweigh your any gold that you make.
Unless you're stealing your repair funds from the guild.
Oh, there is that. Yeah, unless you're doing that. Yes. I don't, because all my toons are officers, I've basically got unlimited gold repairs. And so I just don't feel comfortable using it. So I just don't use it at all. I just I don't want to get accused of abusing the position, so I just don't use any of the gold at all.
Who are you going to get accused by? The officers? You are the officer.
No, of the guild, because people can see where the gold's gone. It's all accounted for.
I bet. What's wrong with you?
I've got a conscience.
If you can get it, take it. I've been in a couple of AIE guilds, and those banks are chock-a-block with gold.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous amounts of gold just flowing out the sides. What else is it going to be used for?
No, we keep, we tune it. And so, you know, if the gold is building up, we'll increase the repairs that are available to general members. And we try and balance it so that, you know, we've got a, you know, we're not dropping we're not blowing all our gold and it'll all be gone by the end of next month. So it fluctuates just depending on how much people are questing and actually making gold that goes into the guild vault versus how much they're rating, which means repairs are going out and not much questing is coming in. There's ebbs and flows.
I don't understand why you would spend time climbing the greasy pole to be top of the farm and not suckle at the teat of the guild bag gold. This doesn't seem right. I mean, myself and young folks like Molson join guilds just to rob the bank. So, it's a crazy talk.
Each to their own.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. O'Shea. I've lost a lot of respect. Those people going, but he's good, he's white.
But I'll pick a tune, and that tune is going to be just repairing out of the guild vault for all they're worth. Will that make it happen?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure I'll pick a tune that actually doesn't raid and won't make any difference. But I don't know how far along I am, but I'm at least 1,000 because I've capped my valor for this week. Well, for last week, I should say. It reset last night, didn't it? So I get to do it all over again. Yay!
Never-ending treadmill.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't just from, because I was doing those dailies to get the Klaxi and the Augur Celestials, that gives you a bit of valor. And doing pet battles gives you valor. I'm still doing my pet battles, leveling up some pets. So it's actually not that hard to make 1,000 valor. And you get that nice bonus where if you do cap out a tune, then all your other tunes on that account get double valor for the week. That's a pretty nice bonus for capping a tune out.
But so when you have this double battle net thing,
yep.
I'm guessing all those types of bonuses, well, I know for certain all those types of bonuses do not cross over.
Don't apply. No. So, yeah, there's definitely your pros and cons to having your separate Battle.net account. But I think I'm probably better off with them separate.
Yes, I suppose so. I'll be experiencing that soon.
I like the flexibility. Yes, I could get some more out of it, but really, it's having two separate accounts just opens things up a little bit more for you.
Yeah.
I like that. So last week, I think it was last week, mentioned that Warriors, whew, OP. So
OP.
I've got a Warrior. Will I roll a new one or will I pick up my level 30-something Warrior and have a crack? And I decided, I might as well just pick up the one I got. So I jumped into my Warrior, had a look at his gear. He had some heirlooms on, mostly heirlooms, bit of some other gear. He was specced as a tank for some crazy reason. I don't know, remember why. I don't actually ever remember tanking as a Warrior. I'm quite sure.
And you would remember.
Yeah, I'm quite sure I never did. But there you go. And I threw it out to the Twitters and said, should I be Arms or Fury? And I got a bit of a mixed response.
Was there?
Yeah. A bit either way.
So I got straight down Arms. I don't know what Fury is.
Well, I have.
It used to be a nightmare.
I did actually go Arms, but I will get rid of my tank spec and stick Fury on as my other spec and try them both. So, of course, the first thing I do is just went through my spell book and make sure I had everything out in my bars. And then realized I wasn't in a stance and hit the stance and all the bars changed, and so I did it all again. and then loaded up your spell flash for the Warrior class and went out and started hitting stuff and see what lit up, because I had no idea what to do. And so I'm loving spell flash just for that aspect of, okay, well, what do I do? I got no idea. I'm standing there like a complete noob. And in fact, the first thing I went and hit, Spell Flash hadn't loaded for some reason. So I'm standing there attacking this Crocolisk in Tanaris, and he's whacking away at me. I'm like, nothing's lighting up. What do I do? What do I hit him with? I got no idea. So I struggled through that fight and went, run away, and went and loaded up your Spell Flash. Went back and hit another one. Whack, whack, whack. He's dead. I'm like, oh, okay. That was a bit easy. Did that a few more times and then realized, well, I need to go and find something harder because I'm not actually learning a spell rotation because things are dying too fast.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good problem to have. I'm getting into it. I'm slowly building up a bit of, the idea light, the light globe going off above my head as to what I should be doing and building up rage and spending it wisely. And I got to a point where I felt, ooh, okay, I think I'm okay. I think I've got the hang of this. I'm attacking stuff and killing it. I should probably queue up for a dungeon. You know where this is going, don't you?
I don't think it's going well.
Yeah. Well, this is where a funny thing happened on the way to the ding.
Ding.
Ding. So I got into Stratheim and we run in and I make sure I'm in not defensive. What's the other one? Not berserker. Offensive. Okay. I can't remember what the stances are called anymore. Made sure I wasn't in the tanky one anyway. And I run in and focused the tank and assisted him and charged at that and attacked it and then quickly realized that, the tank's pulling like lots of mobs and all I've done so far is single target stuff. I've got no idea what to do for AoE and Spell Flash doesn't really help you with that. Spell Flash doesn't know, that you're attacking multiple mobs. So it doesn't really help you with AoE stuff. So I'm hovering around looking through my spells going, oh, which one is like a spinny that's going to do an AoE and eventually found one and did that and I looked back up and the tank's dead. I'm like, crap.
What killed the there? Tank.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't me. I don't know why. I have no idea why the tank died, but the tank dies and then, of course, probably everyone else died. And when the second DPS died, I thought, I'll switch into defensive stance just so I've got a bit more resilience and maybe I'll get an extra bit of trash down or something. But died pretty quick. We go back in and the tank goes, Warrior, why are you in defensive stance? You just wiped us. I'm like, I only switched into defensive stance when you died. Yeah. And then of course he inspects me and he goes, where's your two-hander? And I go,
uh-oh.
I've just picked up this tune again for after a long hiatus. And
what did you have? Just a one-hander?
I got a one-hander and a shield.
That is shield.
Because I was apparently a tank.
Tanky. Yeah.
So I went, I used to tank on this dude. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I must have because I got a shield. So I used to tank on this dude and just picked him up again. And he goes, why has your sword got agility on it? I'm like, what? My sword's got agility on it? I'm standing there staring at my sword. I'm like, I wouldn't have equipped a sword with bloody agility on it. And it's an heirloom sword. So it's not just any old sword. I'm like, what's going on here? And then thankfully, I don't remember who it was. I should have known their name. One of the other DPS in the group goes, they changed that. That used to be a strength sword and they changed it to agility. I'm like, that's right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
And it used to be a two-hander. Yeah.
So I had no idea. So apparently they changed stats on some heirlooms.
That's a bit rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering you're going to be using an heirloom from many different characters and switching back and forth.
Exactly.
It's a bit rough to change stats.
It's almost like my heirloom should have already been to Warlords and come back to me and gone, okay, I'll just change that primary stat when you give it to a different class. I'm assuming that's what heirloom weapons are going to do in In your warlords.
Yeah, I hope so.
You'd reckon.
Just one heirloom for one slot.
But so he begrudgingly went, yeah, all right, and then started going on again. And then I don't know whether he pulled too much or, you know, the hunters, there was a couple of hunters in it and they pulled too much. But there was another wipe and he goes, good luck, boys. It looks like just because you're in heirlooms doesn't mean you're a good player. Drops group.
Ooh, stinging last words.
Oh, I'm like, I was doing pretty good DPS, you know. I wasn't sucking. Yeah. I wasn't even last. It's not like I pulled all the extra trash. I had him focused and was assisting him. And I didn't know how to AOE, so it's not like I was pulling aggro. I wasn't in defensive stance and pulling anything, but so like, oh, okay, I'll just go back to killing quests then. Yeah, so I lost all my confidence in the warrior at that point.
Yeah, but he was a bit off.
He was a bit off. But
trouble is, you had blotted your copybook somewhat with the shield.
With my agility shield sword. And my one-handed agility sword. Okay, granted, I probably should have spent a little bit more time. Well, I mean, that's what you do dungeons for, isn't it? For gearing up.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought I'll go through a dungeon and get some gear. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Give me a break, dude. Nah, man, this is like, you know, you're 42. You should be rocking the meters and doing everything perfect, and this should be straight perfect run and no dramas. Yeah, not so much.
What's the Tanaris or Tanaris dungeon called?
Zul. Oh my god, I want to say Zul'Gurub, but it's not Zul'Gurub. Zul'Farak.
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 I did the exact opposite of what you did. I went in to Zul'Farak when I was on the EU service and my main was a warrior.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, you can tank. Can you tank? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. I had no idea what tank was. Yeah, sure, no worries. And I didn't have a shield. So there was this whole discussion about whether they should give me a shield or I should leave the group, or eventually somebody gave me a shield.
awesome.
That was it. That was hideous, I remember.
Mm.
I have this, suddenly I wake up with sweaty nightmares of tanking.
I don't think I'll be tanking on my warrior anytime soon.
Although it does sound like the warriors had quite a bit of a boost, so I don't know, maybe they're viable again. There was a whole very dark period.
Extremely viable. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, I am not a huge fan of melee playing, but with your charge and
I love that charge,
and you know, doing sensible stuff to stay in front of the mob so it doesn't constantly say, you're facing the wrong way. That mob must be in front of you. I was actually really quite enjoying it. So.
Yeah, I love the charge, and I like the there's a victory thing, isn't there? So you victory get a little, rush. You get a boost.
Yep.
You can kill things quick.
Yeah. I mean, that's what basically. Yeah. Unlike, it's kind of opposite of your DPS caster class, where you need to take a break after a while to get your mana back up and have a drink and get your health.
Yeah.
Your warriors are kind of opposite. You've it's got to be go, 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 because you don't, you know, if you wait around, then you lose your victory rush, which you know, heals you up and, you know, does a bunch of damage. And you're losing rage, which means you've got to build it back up again before you can do any decent DPS. So really, they really quite excel in finding a big bunch of mobs and just doing them one after another. Bang, 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 bang. And it's a bit of a buzz doing that. It's really quite a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I still haven't got a level 90 warrior. My highest is 85.
Yeah.
I'm worried though, because I was thinking about this. There doesn't seem to be any chance that they're going to give us any more character slots.
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
No. Given the length of lull, potentially, there's a good chance that all the slots will be filled with 90s.
Mm.
And then you go and slap on your warlords and you get your free 90. You go, oh, I don't know.
You're going to have to level up something on another realm.
do you know, something else that popped up this week, apart from your butcher of a dentist, was that there's obviously this whole Connected Realms thing is going on. Most people will have seen, even if they've not been directly affected, they'll have seen certain realms being taken down while they connect them together, or they smidge them together. And this Tuesday, or this Monday actually, one realm that we, or at least I have played on, which was Deadhoof, Winterhoof, Netherhoof, yep, whatever you like to call it, got sludged together with a Keelrog. So actually, because you can go on and create characters on Keelrog and Winterhoof, you can have, in effect, 22 characters.
Yeah.
On that particular server. Mash.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that. So,
So it's a little bit interesting.
So there kind of would be an advantage for Earthen Ring being paired up with somewhere else.
Exactly. I was thinking that. I was thinking, well, just find a really, really tiny nondescript server.
Just find a dead server. Completely dead server.
Slap it together. But it does kind of make a mockery of the whole...
Yeah, well, that's even makes even more a mockery of the 11 per server thing. So now we could complain that, well, I'm on a server that's not connected, and so I can only have 11, and these other people can have 22 or 33 because you've joined three of them together.
Yeah.
Where's the fairness in that?
Yeah. Actually, there were a few that had like four or five.
Yeah. We could have 55. Oh, no, can't have 50. We could have 50 on one realm.
That would be fantastic. And a lot of people are listening to this going, what? Just be happy with the 11 you've got. What do you need more?
Come on, not after 9 years. Yeah, 9 years, and unless you know, all your friends are now on majorly.
Jokes are kicking in.
Majorly playing on one realm. Of course, you're going to want to create all your toons on one realm, and 11 characters over 9 years of playing. Isn't a lot of characters.
Yeah. I mean, I have the bonus, as do you and several of the people listening to this in our particular mental circle, have the bonus of having more than one account.
Yeah.
So when you want to look at having a bank character or a character that collects various bits and pieces like your cloth or your skins or whatever, you can do that because you can send it over to the other account. But other people who are completionists and do want to have a level 90 at all classes on the one account aren't able to. They have
you can do that. It's just that you have to level up one of your bankers.
Exactly. And who the hell wants to do that? Yeah. I mean, you've got a job to do. One job. Look after the bank. Exactly. Don't want to go out fighting. So
I mean, your bank character's specifically set up for that. Yeah, they've got all. You don't want to be having to clog up your banker tune with quest items and crap. Not that you'll have that in Warlords, but.
And you need that banker to be stood near the mailbox and the auction house and the bank. You don't want them out in the world killing stuff.
You'd have to demote something else to be a banker if you sent your banker out. Because they've got to have someone to mail all your stuff to.
I have to say, sometimes I think that we are such a niche group of individuals in as much as having more than one account and wanting to alt and multi-box and do all the other bits and pieces that we do. That Blizzard don't really notice our concerns. And then when people start going on about, oh, I need to have all my tunes on the one realm, or I need to have more than 11 slots, or whatever, that's like 0.1% of the population has more than one account.
Oh, it'd have to be a lot bigger than that.
Well, it's certainly going to be a lot bigger than that now. I mean, like we spoke about last week, the forums absolute chock-a-block with people complaining about Recruiter Friend. So I have to imagine if that's the complainers, then all those people who are happy with it that must far exceed those. Yeah. And therefore, it has been an incredibly popular.
Yeah.
And so Blizzard must be saying, well, now we're looking at multiple people with multiple accounts.
Yeah.
And
just based on the invite rate into AIE, I can tell that there's been a huge interest in Refer a Friend.
Yeah. And not only that, but does it say to themselves, well, how else could we attract people let's have a sale. And they're selling Battle Chest for $5 American.
Grand sale.
And Mr. Pandaria, for those that haven't yet upgraded, and I'm not sure why you wouldn't have, but I hadn't upgraded on my new Virgin account, Mr. Pandaria, $9.99. Or, if you're really in the market for a few extra pets on your brand new Virgin account, a mount and a pet, $29.99 for the collector's edition.
Wow.
So that's pretty damn good. I thought that's the Quillen pup and the Quillen mount.
So what did you say? $9.99 for mists.
$9.99 for mists. $5.
So does the battle chest have everything up to excluding mists?
Yeah.
So
it's $15.
$15 and you're away.
Yeah. Which I understand is about $494 Australian.
Yeah.
So yeah. I might want to buy any mega store value, but still.
I should be able to get one for Christmas next year.
$15, you're 30 days free of charge. You've slapped it onto your recruit friend, hopefully. You're looking at a pet down the line and or a mount, and, you know, you're laughing. I mean, just look at it this way. You spend $15. You spend another $15, and the account that you use to recruit that account gets a free month. So you already that $15 is just... negated, right? Because you would have done it anyway. Yeah. Exactly. You're laughing. I mean, who isn't doing that?
God. I wish I wasn't so flat knacker at work, because I feel like if I signed up now, I'd just be wasting it. And then you've got Christmas, and I'm go on holidays for 2 weeks. I'd feel bad that my first RAF would be just a complete waste.
I mean, you can go and get ahead and gift this stuff and just leave those codes for a time when you have more time.
Well, that's true. I imagine this raft's going to be around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. They're not going to change it. They won't be changing it between now and Warlords at all. So.
Yep.
They'd be crazy to suddenly go, okay, we're full now.
That's right.
We're going to withdraw
the offer. We will have no more friends.
Yeah. So,
except for that Joey guy, he's funny.
He wasn't funny in his own series.
No, it wasn't. It didn't last long, did it?
No, not at all.
Well, there you go. The there was a very long post on the gearing for Warlords just recently. Chris, we're having a discussion before the show. It was a community manager. And I reckon it's Critho. You always thought it was a Critho.
Critho. Critho. Critho.
But it was, I'll put a link in the show notes. It was actually a very good post trying to explain what they're hoping to achieve with itemization with the gear. And it was interesting that something I hadn't considered was, when we say that your armor pieces are going to change with your primary stat, at the moment they're saying, well, that's specifically plate mail and leather will do that. And I'm like, well, that's odd. Why are they excluded cloth? And the reason, of course, is that there's, you know, all clothies are basically intellect driven. And all the other stats aren't primary stats, and so, you know, there's no need for that to change. So it's a bit, it feels a bit odd, even though it makes sense, it feels a bit odd that they're kind of excluding cloth from that, your primary stat thing will change depending on your spec. I mean, I would have thought, there's stamina and armor on it. I would have thought maybe even between, to take a priest, that could be DPS or heals. I thought maybe your stamina and your armor might be slightly differently weighted depending on your spec for clothies, but apparently not.
Well, they did do a whole thing where they increased the survivability of clothies, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So presumably, you know, that's won't be affected and carries forward.
Yeah.
The secondary stat information equally as interesting. I think I need to read it again because I'm a bit confused about things like Spirit, because Spirit won't be a secondary stat, but there'll still be stuff with Spirit on it, or the Spirit applies to the bonus stats on gear. So, I mean, hits going away, so it doesn't affect us the same way that it affects your gear at the moment when you're, if you're a druid and you're healing and you want to be Spirit, and when you switch to Boomkin, you want your Spirit to be hit. It doesn't affect you the same way because hit's going away. But,
the Spirit is mana regen, then, is it?
Yeah, the Spirit is mana regen. So, I mean, if they're not making that as a secondary stat and it's a bonus, then I guess the whole mana regen formula must be changing.
But Spirit is going to be on the non-armor pieces, and it's going to be on the rings and the necklace.
Right. But, you know, in a lot of cases at the moment, you know, that wouldn't be enough. If you only had Spirit on, you know, your rings and your neck and your trinkets, then that wouldn't give you enough Spirit as a healer to be regenerating mana at a rate that was sustainable for a raid. Which means, you know, they've got to do a whole bunch of balancing. I really don't envy them the job of having to balance all this stuff out again, having removed all these stats. And then adding a tertiary stat as well and sussing that out.
They're saying that Spirit is only useful for healers.
Yeah, so you really don't. I mean, mana regen does apply to your other caster classes, but it's nothing that you actually focus on as a DPS. So obviously there are other mechanisms for regenerating mana besides Spirit.
It certainly is a lot to get your head around.
Yeah, and of course,
it's not a short article.
No, it's not short, and it's all, you know, this is what we're thinking at the moment, but it could all change.
The first comment after his massive long article, which goes into, as we said, some incredible depth about the changes that are coming, is at least he didn't go second. But it's good. But he's happy with that reply.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I'm really excited. I mean, if I manage to get into the beta, that's kind of more than new content. That's the kind of things that I'd like to look at and understand. And presumably, you know, all these changes are going to come in, you know, your 5.9, right? This won't come with 6.0. This will come in the prelude patch leading into Wards.
They're already looking at certain things, aren't they? What were they talking about the other day, that they're going to introduce the idea that you can send heirlooms across realm and cross faction? They're going to open up the mailbox system. It's in the 5.4 point whatever 2 PTR that now type in the server, the realm, and the character name, and off go your heirlooms or any other account bound items by the sound of it.
Wicked.
So there's a good chance that they are going to be testing, you know, just dipping their fingers into some of the stuff they've planned much earlier on, which is good.
Awesome. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to playing around with the tertiary stuff, and it's kind of interesting that they're saying now, well, it's not so much you're not trying to get your best in slot item that's a small chance. Now it's like you'll get an item, and then you'll need to work towards making it the best in slot by building these things up and, you know, trying to stack your tertiary stats and, you know, being lucky with getting a socket gem on it. You know, the gem slots are going to be a lot rarer and a lot more powerful. So interesting to see what they do with to make dual crafting still viable as a good profession.
Yeah, they're going to have to sort out the profession, aren't they, for most of these things, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is that you don't no longer would have to perhaps create three different types of... You wouldn't have to create PvP gear, for instance. I mean, a lot of big seller for most armor makers is PvP gear, blue PvP.
Yep.
It won't be necessary if they're saying that whatever you've picked up in the world is going to change in order to meet your needs when you go into PvP.
Right.
You're in your PvP stat, you wouldn't need to worry about it.
Yeah, and same with like my whole... I'll run dungeons and raids to try and gear up my primary spec, but my off spec, I'll just like, I'll go and buy a BOE that some leather worker has made and slapped up on the auction house for a fortune, and now I won't need to. So, you know, it's going to make a big bite out of your tailor and your blacksmith and your leather worker in terms of selling gear as well.
Yeah, so I don't think Blizzard are particularly not unsupportive, but they're not supportive of those people that focus on gold making. It certainly isn't anywhere near their primary focus.
They don't seem to put any huge priority on ensuring that professions are good money earners.
Because what happened in the past is that if you had a profession, and this seems to have gone away a wee bit, and it probably will come back, is that learning a profession wasn't a bonus to you making gold. It was a bonus to you as a player because of the additional bits and pieces that it gave you that you could only uniquely have.
Yep.
And a lot of that has gone away. So maybe they're going to focus on that. And that the idea that you learn a profession in order to increase your gold supply is not the driving force. You learn a profession specific perhaps to your particular class, and as much as that you go for cloth if you're clothy and so on and so forth.
That's very true. I do remember the first tailor I leveled up. I mean, I leveled it up, you know, to be able to make the moon cloth set specifically for me. I don't think I even thought about leveling it to sell stuff and as a money earner.
And I think with all the gold that's sloshing around in the game, it may well be their idea that they want to try and pull that back a bit, that they don't want people getting all that. And this also sort of ties with the garrisons to a certain degree. The fact that anyone, although obviously in a limited fashion, can do some mining and do some blacksmithing, do all the other things that they've sort of shown on their videos, means that all those little things that you used to have to go to a blacksmith for would probably be covered in your garrison. You wouldn't have, you know. So there's, you know,
it's going to be interesting. Are garrisons and followers going to be a gold sink, or are they going to be a gold maker?
Well, I can't. I mean, we're very, very early on the whole garrison thing, but looking at the examples they use, like you go back and he gets two bits of ore in an hour. That's not a gold maker.
Mm.
But, you know, still, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, day one, hopefully we are, I say hopefully, I'm kind of in two minds. Hopefully the PTR or the beta is long enough for us to explore it in some depth.
Yep.
And that we all get in relatively early so that we can get our heads around the whole professions thing. Because it is going to be, I think it's going to be a heck of a bigger change than people actually think it is.
Oh, I'm expecting a huge change. You know, as people keep saying, oh, this is WoW 2.0. I feel like that's going to be the case, because this is going to have massive implications for so many different aspects of the game.
Yeah. So I what we're just saying, I kind of hope they will slowly sort of introduce a few bits before 6 hits. You know, that they'll start to faff around with stuff and see how it goes.
I don't know how much they'll put into the game before the last patch. I mean, typically they'd put all those design changes into the last patch of this expansion, and it's basically the new content comes in the first patch of the next expansion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they might filter some back in earlier, but...
Or what they may be doing is they may be, instead of... they may be testing it within PTRs that don't necessarily see the light of day.
True.
As far as going live. And that may well be the case with this heirloom sending. Although it's in the PTR, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make it to the live. They might be testing it as they develop it.
Yep. And then they go, okay, yep, that works. Now we'll just stick that code in 5.9.
Yeah.
You boys can wait for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, so that's something stuff. That people have been, you know, ever since they made heirlooms, that's been something that's like, why can't I mail it to my toon on this other realm?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, that's this difference. That's the weird thing about that, of course, is that it won't be necessary in Warlords because it'll be in the pool, like your pets and your mounts.
Because I was trying to remember what I think something changed that whole thing. And yeah, that's what it was. It was actually they announced it at BlizzCon, wasn't it? That's your heirloom stuff is now account wide. Yeah, so that seems really strange then that at this point they would change the mail system to let you mail stuff across realms.
Unless you want to hear conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory is that you don't have a realm anymore. That the whole concept of your battle net being spread across realms. I mean, look at what they've been doing. The whole cross realm invitational system that works. I mean, more and more and more and more, we're becoming disassociated from our realm.
Yep.
But there's no realm we have. I, we've said this so many times. I have no idea what realm I'm on.
Yeah.
I've got no idea who I should be yelling and screaming at.
Yeah.
Because get off my realm. Because there isn't any, and you can see them, you know, just machinations going on in the background where they're kind of making it not necessary to worry about the realm you're on.
Yeah, well, it's got to the point where the only relevance that a realm name has is to uniquely identify you. You know, I am a Shao at Earthen Ring.
This is a little bit annoying because I've always wanted surnames in the game.
Mm.
It would make one of the hardest things that I'm going to face in the coming weeks is naming another 50 characters. it's just a complete nightmare. And I'm already looking at spreadsheets and going onto websites that have girls' names and boys' names and trying to look at combinations. So I've always wanted surnames because you could basically have everything unique. You could choose a surname and everything would be unique, like they do, for instance, in Star Wars.
Yep.
Now, if they're going down the route, and this is what they do in, I want to say Rift, is there are certain games that you choose your realm is part of your, actually they do it in Eve as well to a certain degree. Anyway, there are certain games that use where you create your character as a unique identifier. Star Trek does it as well. Anyway, so I've always wanted to say, but I don't want to be called Irvin Ring. Because that sounds horrible. I would like to be Jeppy Kilvog. Or, I'm trying to think of some other nice ones. There's quite a few nice ones out there. Jeppy Darkspear. Jeppy Darkspear sounds good. I like that one. But that's what I mean. So if they're going to go down the route of using your original realm as some type of unique identifier across an amorphous blob, which of course is what they are doing, but they're doing it subtly and it currently doesn't really affect you, then, you know, I may have to think about going on another realm because Irvin Ring is... Airy Peak? Jeffy's Airy Peak? No, thank you.
Yeah, no one wants to see Jeffy's Airy Peak.
No one wants to see that twice. Yeah.
Good point.
In fact, the police have insisted upon it.
So we've got a couple of emails. I'd like to say they're from this week, but we screwed up and they're actually from last week. We didn't put them in. But no one needs to know that. We got an email from the diamond that is Strumpet. You got a new nickname for her?
On horseback.
Okay. Strumpet says, I'm beyond excited for Warlords. You ask us to tell you what we are most excited about. This is really difficult. It all sounds so awesome. I think I'm most excited about the 10 levels. I know Endgame is king, but as you probably know, I also love the whole experience of getting there. I'm thrilled Blizzard is giving me more of it. I could have picked just about anything, and trust me, the Pet Stable teasers are high, high, high on my list. Keep up the awesome work. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Strumpet.
You make it sound like the Stooges.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Sorry.
It's mwah, again. Mwah, mwah, mwah,
mwah. I can't. It's like... It's
not, oh, don't you hurt your teeth. Mouth, yeah.
So, yes, I am too, am looking forward to... the whole 10-level experience. And, I mean, it probably, in terms of time taken and effort and stuff, yeah, it could just as well be exactly the same experience that it took us to get from 85 to 90. But it's more about, you know, I mean, you've got twice as many dings, and, you know, it's all about that experience and leveling through living through that process. So I'm excited about that as well.
It'd be interesting to see how people tackle those 10 levels, whether they go, because last time round, because you get flying at 90, I went 90, 90, 90, 90, 90. Each time I hit 90, I bought the flying, and I put that character in deep freeze. And then I went to another character. There was no, I didn't have any focus on what I would do after 90. I just wanted to get as many characters to 90 as possible. I was also focused on getting their professions up to 600.
Yep.
And many of those required you to have a 90 to do that.
Hmm.
So it was a little bit different. But this time around, because you're not going to get flying regardless until 6.1 comes out, you may want to just think to yourself, well, I get to 90 and then I get to 100, and then I start thinking about gearing this character up and doing all the other things. I don't know.
I don't think it'll change. The only thing that'll change for me, I mean, it's not going to change my leveling experience. And once you hit 90, once you hit 100, you're going to be running dungeons and raids, and you don't need to be flying about for that. The only thing that would really slow me down on is if I, you know, in leveling my professions, I want to go and do a bunch of farming and fly around and herb and mine.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that it might slow me down on, that I might not do so much of until I can fly.
It's certainly going to knock the farmers on the head. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
Because it'll all be ground farming.
Yeah.
And you won't have your, hopefully that
you're
pretty
have to
much
fight your way. You have to fight your way to an
botters.
Oar. Not just drop in on an oar and pick it and fly off again. So it's certainly going to slow down your farming for sure. And in a way, it's kind of good, because it encourages you to quest and farm and do it while you're actually out there and in the world and experiencing it, rather than zooming to 100 and ignoring all that and then just doing a massive farming session once you're 100 and fly around.
Yeah, so, I do hope they don't do anything like they did with this these soulbound items that you need for every profession. I'm already worrying about what they might do. Professions are going to be a big focus if I get into the beta.
Mm.
I mean, definitely, so much.
Well, the only thing that I hope that they don't do is the double dipping that they did in Mists, where you've got to grind out reputation to buy rewards, and you've got to grind out valor in order to spend the money on those rewards.
Yeah.
I want it so you're either grinding out valor to buy stuff, or you're grinding out rep. Don't make me do both.
Yeah.
That was just a level of too much.
It didn't go down well, so hopefully they've learned from that experience.
Yeah, hopefully.
In fact, I think they've said that, haven't they? They've even during BlizzCon, they had a bit of a sly attack on themselves about the wrapping and
I think they did, and they also, you know, admitted to they're going to back way off on the needing to grind out dailies at max level.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it bodes well. So let's hope they stick to those particular guns. But good email, Strumpet, and I'm as excited as you are. It'd be great. It just annoys me that I have to wait.
Well, you've got plenty to do now before it hits, so.
Yep.
Indeed. And our next email is an audio from the lovely Lita.
Hello, Asheo and Jeppy, sweeties. I hope this finds you both well and having a great week. Well, I listened to episode 9.9 and BlizzCon. Wow, I think I'm still recovering. Watching the virtual ticket, I think I just squeed the whole time. It was totally enjoyable for me. So my thoughts, I'm not sure where to begin, but I'm super excited about what Blizzard has coming for us. The Warlords of Draenor sounds very exciting to me. And to be honest, I can't wait for it. The parts I'm really excited for would be the garrisons. Sounds awesome. I can't wait to have that happen. And I think I will be spending quite some time addicted to that, maybe. As to the level 100, we get 10 levels. Oh, yeah! So exciting, so exciting. Yeah, what can I say? It's fantastic. So, yeah. But as for all the other news that Blizzard brought out, I'm really excited to see how Hearthstone goes. I'm very excited to see about the Heroes of the Storm. Not sure if it's going to be quite my cup of tea, but yeah, I'm really excited for what Blizzard has to say anyway. So that's just my thoughts. I can't wait. Yay! Anyway, guys, keep up the great show. I look forward to listening to you both every week. And I can't wait to hear what you have in store for my ears. Bye!
Thank you, Lita. The lovely Lita.
Yes. Who is knocking away through podcasts like nobody's business.
Oh, no. She's cropped up on that. I don't know who this Juno person is, but apparently this Juno person has put together a Corpse Run Radio podcast.
I know.
Not half bad. Not half bad at all.
Oh, I need to sit down and listen because I haven't done so far. But yeah. Juno's been out and about as well. She was on Dark Moon Herald.
Wow.
She's on Low Pop Wow. I might be mistaken about that last one, but yeah, she's putting it about a bit.
Lovely.
Good. You can never get too much Juno.
This
you can never
is
get
true.
Too much Lita, and you can never get too much Strumpet. And there are several other people you can never get too much of, who I apologize to for leaving out. But, you know, they're out there. Mm. So.
There you go. You got a tip? Any tips this week do you want to take us out with?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to leave a lot of this for next week, but I'll give you a tip. Don't go and play on Darkspire.
Oh, all right. That sounds ominous.
I'll give you a little bit of a teaser.
Okay.
There's a multi-boxer on there, and he's running, wait for it, 62 tunes.
62.
Yeah. You heard me. 62. Currently, he's running 62. I think he's working his way up to 100.
What class is he playing those at?
I have a nasty feeling they are all shaman.
62 chain lightning bolts hitting you. You wouldn't have much choice.
Actually, some of them must be mages. Some of them must be mages. But
wow.
He's causing... If you want to, in between now and the next show, when I'll go into more detail and I'll have a little bit of a rant about it, you guys should go and check out the Darkspire forums because it is some funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of blocked and locked posts.
Threads, yeah.
Because a lot of them threatening this dude's life.
Imagine that. That would get the ire of a certain is that realm PvP by any chance?
It is PvP, and it's renowned. It's renowned for its world PvP.
Oh boy!
So it's a whole kettle of fish.
Wow! Look forward to it.
Also, do you know, I found something out this week. In order to combat multi-boxers going into battlegrounds, you know what they did?
What? Oh, you can't follow.
You can't follow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they changed that ages ago. And we're all terrified because they said, well, we've disabled/follow. We're like, no!
But, that would destroy multi-boxing overnight. Yeah,
it was just in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, which yeah. I kind of understand.
Yeah.
Although it's a little bit annoying when you just want to run in there with another one character.
Well.
Just have a little run about.
Yeah, so. But it makes it unbalanced and you can't really, unless you're doing, controlling them both at the same time, in which case you don't need slash follow, presumably.
Does make kinda. A disadvantage. The only way around that, of course, is that you only ever move around on your two-seater.
So, that'll be the next thing they disable. No two-seaters in Battlegrounds.
Not a bad move. I think the biggest ire, deserved ire from other players is the use of multi-boxing in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, I can understand that. Mm. Well, I've got a tip. I've got a tip for you. Yay! To take the week out. So it was actually inspired by poor old Molson, our mate Molson, who wrote in an awesome tip to Strumpet on All Pets Allowed. Brilliant tip. I thought, that is a great tip. Unfortunately for all of us, it appears that, and I'm sure that it wasn't that he got it wrong. I'm 100% convinced that what it was Blizzard heard that and went, oh no, we don't want that happening, and. Blizzard went and changed it. That's what it was. That's what happened.
We'll give him the benefit.
Definitely. 100%. But my tip is along similar lines. You know, you're doing a pet battle and you've got your third pet that you're doing as a leveler. And you want him to get some XP. So what you actually got to do is he's got to be part of the fight. You've got to bring him in at some point and swap him in. Mm-hmm. And what I'd been doing was swapping in my third pet and then using, you know, some ability. Usually it's a level one, so he's only got one ability. And you do that, and, you know, whether it misses or whatever has no effect, then swap him out. Yeah. But what I've found out was you don't actually have to have them attack at all.
No.
Which wastes a round. You can just swap them in, and then, okay, what's your next move? Swap them out. They don't have to actually do anything. No one's actually said that anywhere.
As long as they go into the rotation.
Yeah. Sorry?
As long as they're part of the rotation.
As long as they actually come in, they don't actually have to do any attacks. It's just as long as they've been in, and you swap them straight out again, and they'll get the experience for being part of the fight.
So I was like those pet battles where your AI enemy does some stupid heal.
Yeah.
And as his first move, because I always put my Lobby pet in then, because I know I can just get out
before he does anything. Yeah. And there's that one trainer in Pandaria whose third one is a turtle, and he sits there and does shell. He's got a 5-round shell thing. He goes, shell, shell. Okay. Shell. Like that. Okay.
Yeah, those AIs are pretty sucky.
Yeah. bit dumb, but I'm happy for that because it makes it easy to knock them down and level up pets. So there's my tip of the week for your pet battles. And if you want to get some more tips, and here's some discussions about my experience in the Celestial Tournament. A bit of a teaser. I might be on All Pets Allowed next week.
You might be on All Pets Allowed being chastised by Strumpet.
Maybe.
I understand. Because I heard the word cheat thrown around. But still, So there's a bit of a teaser. Yeah. Let me just give a little tip to Molson. Molson, you need to send in just the tip, not the balls as well. I'm only joking. I love you, Molson. And I love you so... One thing we have to stop doing is focusing on Molson, because without Salty, there is no Molson. Without Molson, there is no Salty. They are bitter and salty.
Exactly.
You don't want one without the t'other.
No. No, indeed. Alrighty. Well, that's bringing us to the end of episode 11. So for now, I'm going to go off and do myself some LFR and start grinding out my Valor for this week. And I'm hoping to see you in game and expect you to have your first set of three up to to level 50 so I can drag you into a dungeon and get him out of sync.
There'll be no dungeons, my friend. There'll be no dungeons. This is it now. It's pure, pure leveling. Dingasm after dingasm. So there'll be no dungeons. I'm off to run through the clear, driven snow of my Virgin account.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.